Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 14. We're going to continue from last week. I'm taking a break from all this weird news. How about you? Contradictory, changing every single day. We got to stay focused on some things that we can change, and people are going off the rails. People that were unstable are really unstable now, and you're starting to see with all this pressure and depression, you're going to see some behaviors that are coming out. We've got to know how to red flag and see behaviors that are not just abusive, but we all make mistakes and we've all come from situations. And don't you wish you could just start over now with the knowledge you had, with the lessons you learned? But it's a process and we learn through it. But friends can bruise us. The kisses of an enemy, or, you know, a friend sometimes when someone tells you the truth, the kisses of a friend sometimes are hurtful because they tell you truth. But they shouldn't send you to the emergency room. So when people consistently send you to the emergency room emotionally, you've got to find out. You're going to have to put up a boundary and distance yourself from some of these people, because abuse is not... We've got to decide we are not going to allow crazy. And crazy is anything we say is crazy. Crazy behavior... And I'm just going to use a couple illustrations here. We had a situation of where somebody was really pushing this false doctrine, so I very nicely just said, you can believe what you want, just don't push it on all of us. Well, then we all got blocked and unfriended and not talked to. That is not normal behavior. True, healthy friends, you work through, what? True friendships, you work through things, you're going to disagree. But this stuff that's going on Facebook and in people's lives, there's no accountability. They don't answer to anyone. They're just very hateful. Wow, this is not how God wants us to be. But we have to protect ourselves in this end times, because people are really freaking out. And it's easy to do. You watch the news, they change their mind daily. I just saw within like 4 minutes apart, maybe 5 minutes apart, they were saying this is going to travel on Halloween candy in surfaces, and then the next they went to a place in a restaurant that had everything full of Christmas, everything, and they said, we're not going to have one space left, we're going to fill it totally with decorations. And they were promoting this restaurant in this event, and I was like, okay, this one says don't touch surfaces, and this is like, you're not going to come into our restaurant without every space being filled with a decoration. Do you think you go a little crazy if you listen to everything that they're putting out there? So I'm taking a break from that right now. I'm going to try to deal with the situations that we're dealing with people. And there's sometimes you have to mark and avoid people. Now, sometimes you have to correct them, or you are correct. Think back in your life. Did you love it when people came to you with something? No, but through those confrontations and through those experiences, we learn. And if we've come from crazy... First of all, God loves crazy. He's going to help us. He has. We come from dysfunction. Everyone has. It's just a different type of dysfunction. But then there's others that are very abusive. They're mean. Then they habitually, constantly abuse you. And for some reason, a lot of people are very merciful. They marry the controller. And then you see a dominant one. And then you see the other one being constantly just kind of cave. And to those that are the doormats, I want you to rise up, because you weren't created to be abused. You weren't created to have no self-worth, to always be shamed, always be guilted, and look to the other one for all your identity, all your needs. That's not how God created us. He created us to love each other, to have safe people in our life that are there. These people are never there when you need them. They always seem to disappear. Or when you confront them, even as gently and loving as you can, they abandon. They're abandoners. So we're going to go into a lot of this, and I'm sure it's going to take till next week. We'll probably do another one. But in here in Matthew 14, we're going to see a very unsafe person. I don't like just the word unsafe. A non-healthy, a manipulator, a controller, a con artist. People that are, you know, first of all, God does change people. He changed all of us, and we go from, you know, a little bit of learning to another one, but it takes conviction and repentance. We have to continually own up to our responsibility, our words, our tones, our actions, repent of that when God convicts us, and then we change. But if you don't own, if you don't take responsibility, if you always blame, you are never going to grow, and you're going to remain a very unsafe person to be around. And some people, unfortunately, have come from a strong, abusive parental background, and they haven't come out of it. They haven't done the hard work of judging themselves and repenting and having safe people in their life, and they're not changing. And if they continually go on this track, eventually you have to put up a boundary. And you just say, you know, your crazy is not going to be allowed here. Because what? You have to protect yourself from going in the emotional emergency room. But we don't do that to every person. Some people don't trust anyone. They're hard-hearted. They're very unsafe. And here we see an example of this, okay? This is Herodias. And we see that John the Baptist is confronting her for having an adulterous relationship. She was married to one guy, and then she marries another guy. And so it's his brother Philip's wife in verse 3. And John said, it's not lawful for thee to have her. So he's bringing out the light. Now, Herodias, and this is the way with anybody that's a manipulator, controller, con artist, when you confront them, it's not, oh, thank you. I just so appreciate that. Thanks for bringing that up. No, you're going to get a consequence. You're going to get a rebuke. You're going to get a blot. You're going to get something. And here she's starting to plan now. She's very upset and she's very offended at John the Baptist. And so now we see verse 5, and when he would have him put to death, we're talking about Herod, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. Matthew 14, verse 6. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Now I want you to see, this is a daughter and mother relationship. And we're going to see a very strong manipulative mother and a yielded daughter that is used to being probably manipulated, controlled, whatever. Because verse 7, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would want. And she, what? Being instructed of her mother. Now think of a daughter, and you ask her, whatever you want, you get. She's going to say, I want this, I want that. But she had to, what? Come under the control of her mother. Listen to this. So see this. Before instructed of her mother, said, give me. See, it's all about them. It's not the daughter was the one that was supposed to be rewarded, not the mother. But when there's control, there's an influence of you do what I want. You are my pawn, and you will do what I say, and this is what I want. She said, give me John the Baptist's head in a charger. Isn't that what every teenager wants? Think about that, how stupid that is. The king says you can have whatever you want. She says, I want the head of John the Baptist. Yeah, right. Just bring that along so I can put it on my wall. So, verse 10, and he sent and beheaded John the Baptist in prison, and his head was brought in a charger and was given to the damsel. And what did she do with it? She brought it to her mother. So here we see a manipulator. We see a hard heart. We see somebody that was offended. Not every truth teller is loved. Because when light's shining on bad behavior, they want to blame and they want to silence the messenger. So if she could silence the messenger, she could silence the conviction. Because he was bringing her conviction of what she did was wrong. And here's this poor daughter, when you're underneath the control of a dominating mother, here's this daughter that had to ask for a beheading of John the Baptist. And then when she got it, yay, you got the prize. She gave it to her mother. I just want you to see how controlling, how manipulative, and how bad this whole situation really is. So she was hard-hearted. That means she didn't repent. She didn't get convicted. And when we get convicted, when we've done something wrong, it's very important to let the Lord convict us. Because we can live in denial and make excuses and not face reality and keep living in deception. So unsafe means not safe. It's likely to cause harm. When people are in your life, they cause you hurt, continuous hurt, continuous abuse. And I'm not saying you're not going to have conflicts. We all do. But can you resolve conflicts healthfully? But these kind of people are, they cause harm, damage, or loss. They produce shame and guilt. They always make you feel bad about who you are. God doesn't correct you that way, to shame you and to guilt you. They dishonor. And a lot of people, because that's how they were raised, can you imagine this lady, this mother's daughter growing up, what she's going to be like? Wow, I'm sure she's going to have a few manipulation and skills she should repent of and unlearn. But they're very dishonoring. And you know, when you have good people around you, they validate you. We don't always agree, but we allow each other respect for their opinions. You don't have to believe the way I do, or I'm cutting you off. That's abusive behavior. And we've just seen that ourselves. So we have unsafe water. You don't want to drink water that's not safe, that's full of lead, that's full of fluoride, that's full of junk. That's why we have a distiller, and we distill our water, and all the stuff that comes out, it's amazing, that yellow crap that comes out from tap water. It's like, oh, and I would have drank that. That adds up after a while. So we have unsafe water to drink. We have to guard ourselves from unsafe water. We have unsafe driving habits. Sometimes people talk on the phone. I used to have a girlfriend, she'd put makeup while she was driving. And it was really scary to drive with her when she was putting makeup on. Unsafe. Unsafe working conditions. There's some things we know of someone that died about 4 years ago. And they shouldn't have died, but they were in a very unsafe working condition. We have unsafe homes. So I drive by some of these farms and I'm like, somebody better tear down that barn because it's going to fall on you. I mean, they just look like they're going to fall apart. So what happens when we have unsafe conditions, unsafe people in our life? They give you no protection. They don't ever have your back. They never really care for you. They're very selfish and care for themselves. And most of these people do not have a caring, loving, empathic nature. In other words, when someone's got empathy, they can put themselves in your shoes and you can say, how would I react if this happened to me? And you give them understanding. Doesn't even mean you agree, but sometimes you get control that way because you're always looking for the good. You're always trying to believe the best of people. But when they tell you who they are, you got to believe them. When they're letting you know you're not safe, they're not safe people, they're gossipers, they're backbiters, or whatever it might be, watch those things. Now, we all have things in our life. We've all come from stuff. We're all learning. But again, friendships should cause bruising now and then, but not send you constantly to the emergency room where you're just freaked out and all this and that. So these are dangerous people. They're unhealthy people. They cut people off and they punish them. They punish them by the silent treatment. How immature. It's like an adult that's throwing a temper tantrum. We call it meltdowns. My granddaughter and I, we have a song about meltdowns. You melt down when you don't get your way. That's childish. And the reason why they don't face conflict is because there's so much conflict in them. It's better that they cut you off so they don't have to deal with pain. But the only way through good relationships is pain. You have to hear what they're telling you, and you have to say, is this truth or not? Okay, we've all come through pain. Pain is not bad if it takes you to a good place. But people that have been hurt, they won't own anything. They don't want the pain. And as a result, they're the pain. They cause everybody trouble, but they themselves don't think that, I'm not going to get hurt. It's not a healthy way to deal with problems when you just cut off people that don't agree with you. Because in the end, you're going to be friendless and you're not going to have honest people around you. You'll just have yes people because they're afraid of you. So we have to take relationships for what they are. They teach us things, some things, they're just not healthy. And there's sometimes you just say, I think I'll take a little less of that person. But these people, they cut you off and they punish you because they are always right. Well, guess what? None of us are always right. So if you have a one-up spirit, that's really bad. We're going to get into that. They project things. If you haven't dealt with your stuff, you're going to project it. You're going to be very critical of other people, but it's in you. It's stuff you don't want to face, so you project it. It's called projection. They project things onto others, and they can't see their own flaws, so they blame. What's a blamer? A blamer is an opposite of a praiser. You can get around someone, they're so encouraging, they say, thank you, good job, and then somebody else will put you down, well, you didn't do that right, you didn't do that right. It's how you tell. If you tell your children all the time they didn't measure up, they didn't do this or that, they're going to grow up rebelling because you never validate them and you never confirm what they're doing right. All they hear is, I'm no good, I can't do it right, I'm just... So those are the kids later on in life, they rebel. They hang around the wrong crowds because they're feeling bad about themselves. So notice the red flag of a blame shifter. Do they own their own behavior? This is the first clue of any dangerous person, any unhealthy person. And if they send other people to the emergency room, guess what? You're next. Because they're blame shifters. They don't own their own responsibilities. They don't humbly listen. They constantly shift the blame to other people. We want to admit our weaknesses. And guess what? We all have them. These kind of people won't admit they're wrong on anything because they can't handle. They think weakness is bad, flaws are bad, and they come off that they don't have any. And that's pride. So we have to be open to feedback. Even feedback we don't like. Sometimes there's truth in those feedbacks that we don't like to hear. That's how we grow. Be open to the feedback. And when we get feedback, it's really hard not to be defensive. But if you put up a wall and you get mad for someone speaking the truth, who's really got the problem? So we don't want to be defensive. We don't want to make excuses. And then you don't want to attack. Now, some of these people, they attack. They punish you. And so when you're married to a person like that, they don't want to be punished, so they cave. They give in all the time. And then you'll see a Jezebel and an Ahab relationship. You'll see one that's dominant, and then you'll see the other one just following along. And that's really pathetic. In either way, if it's a woman dominating or the man, God didn't create us to be dominated or to dominate or to take the choices away from another person. He wants us to have people around us. He wants us to have good connections. He wants us to be supported, loving. He wants caring relationships that help us grow. Relationships that are accepting. I accept you, you accept me, and regardless of, okay, I get triggered now and then, or this happens, or I've had this problem. You know what? That's life. And if you have good friends you can talk about your flaws with, that's great. But a controller, manipulator, they'll use everything you tell them later on for a weapon against you and ammunition. Red flag. And they're present. Relationships that are good for us, when you call them, they're there. Some people, they want you there, but when it's time for you, you have a need, you can't find these people. They have excuses. Well, they're busy. So we all need encouragement. We all need affection. We all need truth. We need feedback. We need forgiveness. And we need to give forgiveness. Just because somebody hurts you doesn't mean you're just going to cut them off now and not. You're going to have to work through that. You're going to have to try to say, okay, this is what I can say. This is what I can't say. What's, you know, and then we have to leave the outcome to God because we can't determine what they're going to do with our talk. This last person I was talking to, I spent 4 hours just to make sure they're okay. And I want to say, you can believe what you want. Just don't push this on. Well, that wasn't acceptable. Well, it's not just that that's wrong in their life. I looked and I started seeing all these other flags of controlling. I don't want to be controlled. You know what? I'm too old to be controlled, to go through all this crap again. Do you ever feel that way? Don't try to control me because I've already done that life. And I'm coming out, hallelujah. But you don't want to go to the other extreme where you just don't trust anybody. But you got to know your boundaries. And you have to know when someone crosses your boundaries and you have to rise up and speak your truth. Because otherwise, they will tell you what truth is. And you have to know what your truth is. And if they don't want to hear it and you're not safe in that relationship, you just have to put up a boundary. And boundaries are so much fun because you have to hold that boundary. Because they're going to threaten you or intimidate you, and you have to say, okay, maybe it's a kid that's living there too long and then won't pay bills, whatever. This is the boundary. If you do this and that, And you have to be willing to let them go, whatever that outcome might be. I don't know if that made sense, but we want people that make us better by being in our lives. They just make you better. They make you happy. They make you have fun. We own our issues. And there's nothing wrong with letting people know your weaknesses. But those kind of people you don't want to share that information with. But we own our issues. We stop blaming. We start owning. We let others know our heart. We forgive. We change and we move on. Unhealthy, unsafe people hold grudges. They don't work through things, and it's one check against you, and then they keep score. They remember everything from the ends of the earth you did wrong. And in conflict, they bring it up to you. Many have given up on relationships and they withdraw. They're just tired of all this work. Relationships are work. And they withdraw to work. They become workaholics. They withdraw into TV, video games, addictions, because relationships have hurt them in the past and they don't know how to get out of. So I just want to give you some tools to get out of bad relationships, and then help us, Lord, not to get into another one. Some of these people are in your families. So it's hard when it's a family member or you have a son-in-law or whatever, because now it's hard to run away from, but you still need to know what boundaries are. So we're going to talk a little bit about the red flags of unsafe people, hurtful relationships, people that repeatedly leave you wounded. Some people will wound you. They have no idea. It's totally innocent. They don't know. You've never spoken up and said, this bothers me. So that's on you or that's on me. But when people continuously wound you, you're always taken advantage of. You're abandoned. We're going to talk about that next week, abandonment. Some of you weren't raised by your parents. There's an abandonment issue anyway. And so when you get triggered, you feel left alone. You feel abandoned, forsaken. Causes post-traumatic stress. A lot of these things are heavy-duty subjects. So you don't want to be around these button pushers that are going to continually keep you in chaos. You can be in some people's relationships and you feel just really clear on stuff and they start talking and all of a sudden you're crazy confused. You're in the presence of a manipulator. You have to know you are being manipulated. These unsafe people, they're very neglectful. If you're married to an unsafe person, they leave you like a weed in the garden. They never pay attention. They never give you sunshine. They never give you rain. Abusive people are neglectful. People that don't listen. People that are condemning and judgmental. An example we talked about last week was Delilah. She was the betrayer. She broke Samson's trust. And betrayers break your trust. You'll tell them something in confidence, and then they blast it over ABC, NBC. Very abusive. So some toxic behaviors we're going to look at real quick. Why did people act this way? If you look really deep, they're not thankful. They're not content. A lot of toxic behaviors stem from one of several roots. A common root shared is they're unhappy. Imbalance in their life that's causing perpetual friction and instability. Instead of being grateful for the good things they have, they're constantly focused on what's going wrong or what's missing or what other people have and they don't. That's going to make an unhappy person. Nothing is ever their fault. This is a toxic person. Abusers put the responsibility on you and justify, just as if I've never sinned. They're always justifying why they react the way they do, why they hurt you. Of course, it's your fault. It always ends up being your fault. If everything's always your fault, you're with an abuser. Mature people take responsibility for their lives. Toxic people shift the blame for their actions every chance they get. They can't stand being held responsible for anything. And another thing, they never apologize. When we're wrong, we need to admit it. We need to be convicted from the Lord and repent. That's the first step of staying humble, teachable, obedient to the Lord, and having a changed life. Because we are all a hot mess. We come out by repentance, that God changes us, that we see things different now. We're not going to act like mom. We're going to do things different than dad because we've been convicted and we repent. Because otherwise you'll be blamed for things you had no part in. It goes without saying that toxic people love to play, and listen to this clearly, they love to play the victim card. They're always the victim, and they make you the bad guy. Very manipulative. They always want things to go their way. Toxic people only care about what they like and dislike. Actually, it's a narcissistic quality. It's all about me. When things don't go according to how they want it, a bunch of other toxic behaviors may appear. They throw tantrums, and their tantrums will be verbal abuse. They pout and give you the cold shoulder. That's so childish. People have told me that their mate wouldn't talk to them for 2 weeks at a time. Grow up. They pout and give you the cold shoulder. Some of you are nodding your heads. They'll blow up in a rage. They'll manipulate you with ultimatums and guilt trips, threats. People that always threaten are manipulators. They don't respect personal boundaries. They operate through fear, guilt, and obligation. Fog, fear, obligation, and guilt. You're around them and you're afraid of them. You feel obligated to them or you feel guilty. That's a manipulator, controller. A few more of these. The people want to be in control of all their relationships. So we're dealing with controlling people. Now, a lot of us came out of bad, chaotic situations at home. We had to control things. We had to do the best we could to have normal. Well, when you're out of that environment, then you can't control everything. You got to back off, and you got to let people make decisions. If you always want things this way, you have to say, well, maybe I'm being forceful or controlling. Look at your life. Repent if you're crossing other people's boundaries, which we all have to do from time to time. But these people always want control. They always want to be control. And in business, they'll force you to do things beyond your job description or things you have no interest in doing. And the same thing with family. They'll make it all about them and you do what they want. They're excessively sarcastic. Now, this is one I've been thinking about the last month. Sarcasm is very mean-spirited. It might have truth, but it's very mean-spirited because it puts you up and puts the other person down. And what is it? It's a defense mechanism that allows a toxic person to never open up or be vulnerable about who they are or what they're really feeling. If they can make it all about you and putting you down, they don't have to talk about themselves. And the light's always on you. Sarcasm is a weapon they use to put others down and make themselves feel better. It's a way to say all the negative thoughts they have with just enough of a safety net to fall back on if anyone tries to call them on it, saying, I was only joking. If you ever meet someone who's proud of their sarcasm, run the other way. They talk too much and listen too little. The problem is when someone talks so much that they never let anyone else get a word in, they never take the time to listen to anyone else, we're dealing with a toxic person. Toxic people expect you to hang on to every word they say while your words slip right through their ears and out the other. Just, really? They look at you like, get done so I can talk. They only care about making their own thoughts known. Another red flag, they can't stand sharing the spotlight. I remember when I used to travel a lot to some of these mega churches, and there was this pastor there. She was a very controlling, abusive person. She was over a lot of other pastors. I kind of came in from the back, and all these pastors started coming to me. This pastor makes us, for Christmas, they give us lists, and we have to spend thousands of dollars on their presents for them. I was like, are you nuts? All this stuff that these other pastors were supposed to show respect to the big pastor, and I don't play that game. Even back then, I was like, I don't care who you are. And then I had to get up and preach on jealousy. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to make me real popular because there was such a spirit of jealousy in this top pastor. Most of my wounding has come from the ministry, just so you know. There's a lot of narcissists out there, and there's a lot of people that love to control people, whether they're pastors or not. That doesn't give them a escape card because I'm a leader. I can abuse you. They can't stand sharing the spotlight. There were some preachers I preached for, and this one lady told me afterwards, you'll never be invited here again. I was preaching to 30,000 women. And I was like, why? The people liked you too much. I'm like, what? I said, oh, no, she doesn't like sharing the spotlight. She's always got to be da-da-da. I couldn't believe it, but as I watched things go on, I just saw they have to be in charge. They have to be in the spotlight. And this person told me, if I don't preach 3 days, I can't stand myself and no one can either. I thought, that's not normal that you have to be preaching. You have to have the spotlight. They're out there, folks. So one-upmanship is a classic sign of a toxic mentality. Toxic people butt in with an even bigger, better, more impressive story that steals the thunder for themselves. You're going to tell a story, they've got a better one. You're going through this, well, this is what they went through. And it's okay to relate, but I'm talking about one-upmanship here. They do whatever they can to bring that spotlight back on them. That's a toxic person. They speak poorly about others. And get ready, you're next. I've seen this one person throw everyone under the bus. Oh, yeah, if you confront them, you're under the bus now. We're climbing out of the bus. Toxic people rarely have anything good to say about others. They're always focused on flaws, mistakes, failings that they can point out to feel better about themselves. Toxic people will criticize or ridicule others behind their backs. I try not to say stuff about people unless I can tell it to their face, because it's not going to help them by us triangulating. Triangulating means you there's three people involved and you're friends with both of them, but you always attack the other person. That's very unhealthy. Narcs do it all the time. I'm not going to go too much on that. They take, and never give. It's a one-sided relationship. Are you in one-sided relationships where you do all the giving? That's unhealthy. You're the one being taken advantage of. They're very nice when they need you, but they're never there for you when you need them. Toxic people will always expect the most from you, but you never get anything back. They'll drain you of your time, your energy, and your money. We have to have relationships that go both ways. If you're in a relationship where you feel drained, abused, guess what? You are. You are. Stop making excuses and admit, these people are using me. They hold grudges and refuse to forgive. Now, this is a really bad one, because the Bible tells us that if God's going to forgive us, we're going to have to forgive others. Even as Christ forgave us, so we have to forgive each other. These people don't forgive. They hold grudges because they're protecting themselves. You know what? If people hurt us, we got to let it go. But we learn lessons. It doesn't mean we walk back into that abuse. But these people hold grudges and they refuse to forgive. That's ungodly. Toxic people cling onto every mistake you've ever made. They'll use these memories to guilt you into doing what they want for them. You have to do what I want, and they throw it over your face. At worst, they'll turn against you and make you their enemy, and then go out of their way to make your life very miserable. Reconciliation is off the table for toxic folks. When we have conflict, if we're healthy, we want to work it out. We're going to talk it out. We're going to maybe let, they might get upset. There might be anger involved. We got to let the anger die down. You don't ever go and try to resolve conflict acting like a two-year-old, match their two-year-old. What comes out of that? Nothing. So you got to be mature. You got to calm down. You got to wait till the emotions calm down. But you work it out. These people don't. It's off the table. They're consumed by retribution, more interested in getting even. They have to get even, and they have to be right. Run, 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 little baby, run, run, run. It's important to realize all people are flawed in some way, including us. We all carry baggage, and we all exhibit red flags of our own. So just because we struggle with a few of these behaviors doesn't mean you're a toxic person. We all have areas, we all have things, but we have to be open and teachable. Whew. I guess I'm going to have to save that one for next week. I had so much material here. I'm going to close with some of these. Unsafe people, again, ways to unspot them. I want to make sure I don't. This is all about manipulation. I was supposed to put this in when Herodias, why she was a manipulator. Maybe we'll get to that later. There was some good stuff on how do you know if you're being manipulated. Ways to spot an unsafe person. Number one, narcissistic and afraid of vulnerability. When you meet people and they don't want to open up. Now, people have to earn your trust. You aren't, oh, I want to tell you my whole life. Hi, Fred, I'm Judy, and I want you to, I know everything about me. No, that's not good. Give people time, share a little, see if they can handle that. You know what I mean? But sometimes we're so vulnerable and we just want to expose everything. And no, but these people, they're afraid of that. You won't hear them sharing things unless they look like the good. They just won't share weaknesses. They're very narcissistic. They think they have it all together. They won't admit weakness. Number two, they're defensive. Unsafe people are defensive instead of being open to feedback. If somebody tells you something, why won't you receive it? Pride. Arrogant, that's the next one. Unsafe people are self-righteous instead of being humble. Self-righteous, one up, have to be right. Manipulative, they'll only apologize instead of actually changing their behavior. Well, I'm sorry if I caused division. I'm sorry if I did, but they don't repent. They just give you a false, that's a fake apology. Manipulative. So you think, well, they said they were sorry, but then there's no change. You continually get bruised. You continually get wounded. You continually get put down. There's no repentance. When repentance is, that behavior will stop. I won't do that to you again. Right. They're irresponsible and immature. They avoid working on their problems instead of dealing with and resolving their problems. When we deal with ourselves, we don't have time to go into everybody else's business. Taking care of us and getting the weeds out of our heart is a full-time job. But they don't deal with that. They're very egotistical. They demand trust instead of earning it. Narcissistic, unsafe people believe they are perfect instead of admitting their faults. Again, the victim card. Unsafe people blame others instead of taking responsibility. If someone's always the victim, you better be careful. They're liars. Unsafe people lie instead of being honest. I could tell you some stories. They're immature. They're stagnant instead of growing. They're stuck on one thing. It just doesn't seem like they're happy and full of life. It's like they're angry, they're mad, they're forceful. There's just a different spirit about unhealthy people. They're not honest, they're not transparent, and they aren't growing. To grow, you have to be convicted and repent. Remember that. Unsafe people are stagnant. They're afraid of intimacy. And unsafe people avoid closeness. They won't connect. They'll give you a YouTube, but they won't connect. They won't share about themselves. There's something when people connect heart to heart. You know what I'm saying? They give you information, but they don't give you life. They don't give you a heart. They don't give you connectedness. They're afraid of it. And that's too bad, because when you're vulnerable, you make the best friends. And afraid of intimacy, self-centered, controlling, artificial, fake, and unsupportive. They flatter you instead of confronting you. Judgmental and condemnatory. Unsafe people condemn us instead of forgiving us. There's a difference. When you have a real friend, you've done something wrong and you didn't know it hurt them, but you repent, you say, or please don't do this. Okay, these people don't forgive. They condemn you. You're just not as smart as I am. Discouraging and destructive. You say, why are you doing this? Because I think we have to expose these people a lot of them I found in the church. I'm sorry. But just because they say they're saved doesn't mean they've worked out their salvation. It doesn't mean that they still don't have really bad behaviors that need to be confronted. And the Lord uses people. He uses people in all of our lives, and it's not fun. It's painful when we see we've been controlling or we've been manipulative or we've done this or that. It's painful, but we have to embrace the pain, admit it, repent, and ask God for forgiveness, and He changes us. It's part of the growth process. When you lose your baby teeth and you have to get new teeth, it hurts. Those new teeth coming in, ouch. Sometimes growth is painful because it steps on all of our insecurities. and discouraging and destructive. Unsafe people stay in parent-child roles instead of relating as equals. They're always trying to parent you. You're their child. Sorry, you're not my mom. But these relationships, they're always, because they're one up and they know more and they're more spiritual, whatever, they always put you in this position that you're their child. And when they're married, their wife is their child or their husband is their child. It's just like, I'm over you. Unstable. You might think these people are stable till an event hits. And you're going to really see, especially now what's going on in the world, it's putting people on a high. The unstable ones are coming out of the woodwork. They're starting to manifest. Manifestations. So they're unstable over time instead of being consistent. Sometimes it takes a while to see this, but they're toxic, unsafe, negative influence on us. They're disloyal. Two more and then we're done. Disloyal and gossipers. Gossip instead of keeping our confidences. They're religious and dogmatic. This is why there's so many in the church. They're religious, they're self-righteous, they're judgmental, they're critical, all the things that are opposite of what God wants us to be. And we come in sometimes to the kingdom of God with this stuff, but we have to let God work on us and change us. They're religious and dogmatic instead of being spiritual. That means they're judgmental. You think of the Pharisees and every jot and every tittle had to be just so. They're unforgiving. They don't have compassion. And that's the thing. Are we compassionate? Do we, even in our pain when we get hurt, can we still empathize? Can we put ourselves in the position of, why did they act that way? Maybe I'd act worse. Maybe if I was in that situation, I wouldn't have any patience either. Why are they acting the way they do? Give them the benefit of the doubt. But as the cycle repeats, are these behaviors changing? Is there any conviction? Are they ever, like Herodias, she was planning on murdering John the Baptist. She had a hard heart. She premeditated murder. No conviction there. So what, in closing about us, what is it about you that attracted them into your life? It's so easy to say, they're weird, they're crazy, and I'm not doing crazy. Well, what crazy in you brought them into your life? Hello, time to be convicted. Low self-esteem. Sometimes when you have been in low self-esteem, you like someone telling you what to do. You drew that controlling person in your life because you thought they had it together and you didn't, so you drew them in. You were insecure. Maybe you're a people pleaser personality, or some issue hasn't been resolved in you, and so you allowed them into your life. And even as they continually harmed you, you didn't put up a boundary because you thought, if I tell them no, they're going to leave. Well, guess what? Sometimes you're going to have to lose relationships, which we've all seen, because they can't take no. Controllers, manipulators don't like no. They've never learned it, even as a toddler, when their mom would say, no. They didn't do no. They still haven't done no. So, you know, why did we bring them in? You chose to ignore the red flags because you thought maybe you were in love. I'm so in love with this person. A year later, you're so abused, you're sent to the emotional emergency room. You had no clue because you didn't listen. You didn't watch. You lived in denial. We've all been in denial. What does denial mean? You don't want to face reality. You make excuses for why they act that way. You make excuses after excuses after excuses, and now here you are in trauma because you wouldn't face the truth about this person. We've all been in denial. That's how we've lived. Some of us lived in denial to survive our childhoods. And so that's, well, you know, he did this because of that. And there's some of that is okay for that time, and some denial is okay, but you've got to get out of denial and face reality to deal with issues. You can't stay in denial. Why do people stay with abusers, physical abuse? Oh, they'll change. I know next time. They said they'd never do it again. But they do it again, and they do it again, and they do it again. And sometimes you have to rise up and say, I've had enough. Well, if I tell them that, they'll leave. Let them leave. Sometimes you have to. And this is not taught in the church. And that's why there's so many people that abuse in the church. All you have to do is give them more food, give them more sex, give them more this. It's all your fault. Pray for them more. And their behavior doesn't change. They don't get convicted. They don't repent. They keep abusing. You go to the pastor, he goes, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. And they give really bad advice. And I know this personally because I've been in ministry and I've watched it. And the abused person never gets validated. They never get heard. They always get, oh, it's your fault. You aren't doing enough. You're not praying enough. No, sometimes you have to own your thing. I am a people pleaser. I have to say no. I have to put up a boundary, at least some distance. There's got to be some consequences here or this abuse is going to continue. And boy, that's a mouthful, and I've had to do that myself, and it's not easy. But on the other side of it, you're like, thank you, Lord, I put up a boundary and you help me. You have to have people around you that see reality. You don't want yes people, but on the other hand, you have to have people that understand the abuse you're in. You can't just say it's your fault and you need to pray more. It's all your problem. And then they let the other person. And the abuser is such a charmer and a silver tongue. Everybody thinks they're great, but they don't know what you live with in private. And a lot of these people are leaders in churches, but they abuse at home. And no one listens to the abusers or to the people that are being abused. They only think that the abuser's justified and there's something wrong with you. So every situation is different, but I wanted to talk to those that have been really hurt and nobody's listening to you and you see red flags, but no one will agree with you. Why did we let them in our life? Repent for that and say, Lord, this. And you know what? We're never going to escape it. We're always going to find another one. They come out of the woodwork. But what do? You learn. You learn. There's certain people that I won't allow in my life because I see how blatant and rude and all that. But the ones I've let in are the coverts, the subtle manipulators. You know? So that's a big, hard lesson. It's like, well, I know those people are going to chew you out. But this one, wow, the abandoners, those are painful. Because we've already been abandoned. We don't need more people to abandon us, invite them into your life. I'll talk more about that next week. So, second closing. People who are safe are open, they're honest, they're vulnerable, they're trustworthy, they're loyal, and they value connection. They value intimacy. They value being vulnerable. They're accountable and they accept responsibility for who they are and for their actions and for their results. I'm sorry I hurt you. I repent. I won't do that again. Not, I'm sorry if I hurt you. Well, that's not an apology. That's a fake apology. It's like, okay, I'm going to say that to make you feel good, but their behavior doesn't change. It's like Delilah and Samson. She kept doing the same kind of stuff over and over and over again. Okay. Safe people choose to apologize, make amends by learning from their mistakes, changing their behavior. They deal with their own issues while still challenging, supporting, encouraging you, and letting you be you. I think I'll close here. I could go on and on. I think Mark's given me the eye. It's time to close. 1 Timothy, Paul said, Jesus came to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15, if I can read my own writing. Whom I am chief, and I believe on him for eternal life. What did Paul do? He was a miserable mess. He received mercy. He got convicted. He repented and his life changed. He used to kill Christians and now he's preaching to them, right? So it's not that God can't change us, but we have to allow ourselves to be a safe person to other people. Get convicted, repent, ask God to help us work through conflicts. We're going to have conflicts. That doesn't mean someone's a bad person because you have a conflict. We're going to have them. It's life. We're going to have offenses. We're going to have anger, but what do? We work through them. We work through them. We repent and change. Why? God is in the changing business. And aren't you glad? So give mercy to people. Some of you give too much, but after a while, if there's no change, there's no repentance, you have to make some boundaries. You have to make some changes. But you can't put up a boundary if you haven't told them what's wrong. And this is the problem I see. People just cut people off, but they don't understand why did you do the silent treatment, getting stonewalled. That's very abusive to people, to just leave someone in a dark room. So you have to be open and vulnerable and share you really hurt me when you did this. Can they handle that? If they get defensive over that, don't give them any more because they don't care. But some people are totally clueless. They have no idea how they come off. They don't know they're rude. They don't know they're mean. So somebody in their life, especially if they're younger, is going to have to confront that and help them see this is how other people see you and help them grow up. Amen? That was quite a mouthful, but these are the lessons I used to preach on, right, Mark? Many, many, many years ago. And we go back to them because why? We're all living with people. And we're all growing. We've all missed it. We've all made mistakes, and we're going to make more mistakes. But thank God for being convicted, to be able to repent, ask God to forgive us. And Father, we thank you for wisdom going forward here as they're saying it's a dark winter. Things are happening, changing. The global reset is happening in every area. The political systems, the educational systems, the monetary systems are changing. Our banks are changing. Our whole life in 2020 is being reset, the great reset. And I pray that people would study and research that out for themselves, the great reset that we're under right now. And through this, we're going to see people coming out of the woodwork, people freaking out. Help us be around and help us first be a safe person and help us be and have other friends that are safe people so we can walk through this. And we thank you, Father, you lead us and guide us and help us not get hard-hearted. That just because we've been hurt, we're never going to make friends again. That we keep repenting and keep clinging to you in Jesus' name. Anyone said?
Amen. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right-hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.